Heavenly Father, as we reflect on those verses this morning, I pray that you'd come and speak your words of life to us. Open our ears and our hearts to hear from you, to receive from you, and give us courage to respond to you. Amen. I read a great article in yesterday's Guardian about the therapeutic benefits of reading, and particularly of reading as part of a group. Like many people, I love to read for the very reason that is given in the article, because reading takes you out of your own world and it immerses you in another world. But I have to confess that I have a rather bad habit when it comes to reading, and perhaps some of you have the same bad habit. Sometimes I am so desperate to know what happens at the end of a book, I have an urgent need to know that everything will be all right in the end, that I flick to the back of the book and I read the last few pages first. Would anybody else like to confess to that literary sin? Thank you for your support. Mostly women, I notice. Of course, there have been occasions when I've been caught out, when I've turned to the last page, hoping for a happy ending, only to discover that it's quite the opposite, and it does rather spoil the story then. When it comes to stories, you're not supposed to read the end at the beginning. Today, as I've said earlier, is Advent Sunday, the beginning of the church's season of Advent, and also the beginning of the church's year. And Advent is the one time in the year when we are encouraged to turn to the last page of the book and to think about the end of the story. In Advent, we focus on the coming of Christ, and there are three different dimensions to that. We look ahead to the coming of Christ at Christmas, hence we count down with our Advent calendars. We reflect on Christ coming into our lives and where we might need his renewing. But we also look forward to a time when Christ will come again. Or to put it another way, we remind ourselves what will happen at the end of the story, at the end of time, as we know it. Every week in church, we say the words of the Creed together, and this is what we say about Christ coming again in the Creed. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. So Advent is the one time of year where we are asked to really think about judgment. I have at home a fridge magnet that says, "Jesus is coming, look busy," which I'm rather fond of. Because I think judgment is a slightly uncomfortable subject, probably best dealt with through the use of humour, hence I have the fridge magnet. And yet I think judgment is something that many people are longing for. Just think for a moment about what a judge does. A judge ensures that justice is done, and a judge seeks to put right that which is wrong. In the news this week, we've been following the trial of Thomas Mayer, the man who was found guilty of murdering MP Jo Cox. Her death was deeply shocking and disturbing and distressing, and we want the man who did it brought to justice. We want the people who promote hatred and division to be challenged and confronted. And ultimately, we want to see our society change so that it doesn't happen again. So judgment is intimately connected with justice and with putting right that which is wrong. Our Bible reading this morning, it comes from the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament. Isaiah is the first of the great prophetic books in the Bible, and it's essentially a compilation of messages that have been preached by several prophets. And in the first section of Isaiah, chapters 1 to 39, God's people have lost their way. In fact, what's more likely is that the authorities, the religious and political leaders of their time, they have lost their way, and they have led God's people off course. I don't know what your map reading skills are like, but it is very easy to lose your way. You may well know that if you take a compass reading, compass bearing from a map, that when you translate it into real life, as it were, to set your route, you have to add 2 degrees to ensure you get the accurate route. That's something that I didn't know. And of course, 2 degrees difference doesn't make a big deal between here and the end of church. But if you are 2 degrees off course after several miles, it really does make quite a substantial difference. You end up a long way from where you're meant to be. I don't think God's people had intentionally turned their back on God. I think it's far more likely that they were just 2 degrees out, and that over time they got further and further away from where God wanted them to be. Which is why in the very first chapter of Isaiah, Isaiah says to the people, stop doing wrong, learn to do right, seek justice. So to get them back on course, God appointed the prophet Isaiah to speak on his behalf. And the role of a prophet at that point wasn't someone who predicted the future. The role of the prophet was to deliver a message to the people at the time, and that message would inevitably have some sort of future implication. So Isaiah chooses to deliver his message in 2 different ways. Sometimes he preaches a message of salvation from God, and at other times he preaches a message of judgment from God. I suppose it's a bit like using both carrot and stick to get your message across. And the section that we heard read from chapter 2 is part of a message of salvation. Let me remind you again what it says. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Given all that's happening in our world at the moment, I find them salutary words. And yet I can't help feeling a sense of disappointment, because I don't see these words being fulfilled in our lifetime, in our world. If anything, there is an escalation of fear and violence at the moment. So what purpose do Isaiah's words serve in this season of Advent? What are we meant to do with them? This is the reading that's set for today. How are we supposed to respond to these words? Well, I think this reading is chosen for 2 reasons. It's there to act as a provocation, and it's there as a promise. Isaiah's words are meant to be a wake-up call to us, just as they were to the original hearers. They're there to provoke us to think and to use our imagination and to ask ourselves the question, how could our world be different? How could we live differently? And for us, what does it mean to be people of peace in an era of Brexit and Trump and the rise or the growing influence of what they're now calling the alt-right? What does it really mean today to be a person of peace? Is it really satisfactory for me to sit in my kitchen reading The Guardian and privately ranting about how terrible it all is? Or is actually God asking something more of me? If we're not careful, we can reduce the season of Advent just to a countdown to Christmas, when it is actually meant to be a 4-week period in which we ask ourselves hard questions about the way that we live. Isaiah wants to get us back on course. He wants to get us back on God's course, just because we may have drifted off a bit. But the words of Isaiah are also a promise as well. These words are spoken to a group of people who are constantly at the mercy of more powerful nations and empires. They're constantly being invaded and conquered. And so Isaiah dangles the carrot before them to keep them going when they're disillusioned and frightened and when they don't know what the future holds. God will judge between the nations, he says. God will. God will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares, into something useful. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. In part, this is a promise of what will happen when Christ comes again. This is the judgment and the justice that we look forward to during the season of Advent. This is what God will do to put his world back on course. This is what I'm longing for every day when I hear the awful things that are happening in our world. Sometimes you need to look at the end of the story to be reminded that everything will be all right in the end. You need to know what the end holds to help sustain you through this journey of life. So Advent is an incredibly unique season, A time when we look forward to Christ coming again to judge the world, to bring justice and put right all that has gone wrong. And it's a time when we're provoked to welcome Christ into our lives so that we might live differently and that we might live better. Amen. Why don't we take a moment to pause in quiet together? And then what we're going to do as a response to some of those ideas is we'll use a short confession. But let's pause just for a moment as we think about the thoughts that have come to our minds.